I had the privilege just before Christmas of sharing with a group of Navigator staff in the US at their Christmas party on the subject of facing change and uncertainty. This is one of the departments, the sort of staff care side of the Navigator headquarters group in Colorado Springs. And they were undergoing a massive reorganization and a lot of change. And the person who was organizing the Christmas party thought it'd be nice if I would come and share something on the subject of uncertainty and change and how we cope with uncertainty and change. So I was sort of thinking, you know, it's Christmas time. I'm thinking about the Christmas story. I'm thinking about that subject. And thinking about the passage that we'll read in a minute in Luke 1, where the angel comes to Mary and announces that she's going to have a baby. And I started to think about that and thought, wow, talk about uncertainty and change. This was not something that Mary had asked for. It was pretty exciting in one way, but massively frightening in another. I guess for any woman, finding out that she's pregnant and going to have a baby, especially the first child, is both very, very exciting and also somewhat frightening. I remember when Chris first got pregnant with our first child, Ruth, I remember all those confusing emotions for Chris, of the fear of childbirth, but the excitement of a new life. For Mary, that was magnified in all sorts of ways, wasn't it? Then I was sharing, as David and I tend to share our sermons with one another, even when we're on opposite sides of the Atlantic. And I was sharing this, and David thought, Dad, would you be willing to share some of these thoughts with the Holland Road Baptist family as we face the beginning of a new year? Because there's a sense in which for all of us, we are always facing uncertainty and change. It's one of life's constants. We can't control our future. I think sometimes in the West we live with the illusion that we can control our future, but of course we know we can't. And often the beginning of a new year is a time of facing the reality of uncertainty and change and preparing ourselves for it. And temperamentally, some people love change. They love uncertainty. Other people are more fearful, apprehensive. And I would guess that for most of us, there's some kind of tension between these different sets of emotions as we start a new year. But I thought, before we rush into 2019, let's take a moment and reflect on this well-known bit of the Christmas story, and prepare our minds and hearts for facing the changes and uncertainties ahead. Okay, can I pray for us, and then we'll read this passage in Luke 1, 26 to 56, which records the angel coming to Mary and her response. Father God, you know each of us, every one of us here. You know all that we're facing in our lives. You know, we've heard from one or two this morning already of us about what we've faced in this year past and how that affects us and impacts us as we look into the year ahead. None of us knows what's coming, Lord. And we know that life is tough and that bad things do happen to good people. And therefore, we look to you. We pray that you would speak to us from your word and that from this passage written so long ago about your servant Mary. Would you prepare our hearts for all that you have in store for us? Give us anchor points as we step into the year ahead that would help us. For we ask in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. So I'm reading from Luke 1:26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph. Probably Mary was in her early teens. I mean, that from what we know of the history, the social history of the Jewish communities at this time, young women generally became betrothed and got married in their early teens. To a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid." Have you noticed pretty much every angel that ever appears to anyone in the Bible starts off with "Don't be afraid"? So I've never seen an angel, but I imagine they must be pretty scary. "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." And then this remarkable response from Mary. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. I don't know about you, but I find those few words, those five words, "then the angel left her," pretty discouraging. I mean, when I try and imagine myself into the situation, and you think of Mary, what was Mary feeling 5 minutes after the angel left? This announcement that had been made to her, that she was going to be the mother of the Messiah. You know, there was a lot of expectation around the coming of the Messiah at that time in Israel because of Roman oppression. And there had been uprisings in Galilee in support of people claiming to be the Messiah that had been put down with incredible ferocity and violence by the Romans. So this sort of Messiah thing had huge positive, but huge potentially dangerous dynamics associated with the idea. And so Mary must have been wrestling with all that. She must have known all of that. There was the whole thing of being still unmarried and pregnant, and what that would mean, There was the whole thing about how is she going to explain to Joseph. There are all those things. I don't know what was going through her mind in that first 5-10 minutes afterwards, but the angel had gone. And I read that and I sort of think, God, couldn't you at least have let the angel hang around for a bit? Couldn't you have let the angel tell Joseph before Mary had to tell him? Because it's very clear from Matthew's account that Joseph found out that Mary was pregnant, presumably from Mary, didn't believe her story, and the angel didn't show up to talk to Joseph until after Mary had talked to him. Now, I don't know what you think about God or how you experience God, but you sort of think, God, surely you can do better than this. This is the lady, the angel tells her. Where is it here? Don't be afraid, Mary, verse 30. Don't be afraid, Mary, you have found favor with God. But you start to think about this and you think, Lord, please don't let me find favor with you if this is what is involved. If you're going to ask me things like this. In fact, one of the last passages that's often read in this Christmas season is the passage where Mary and Joseph take the newborn baby Jesus to Jerusalem. And they meet, you remember, Simeon and Anna in the temple as they bring Jesus for dedication and circumcision. And you remember the last words of Simeon in that passage, he turns to Mary and he simply says to her, and a sword will pierce through your heart also. So the Christmas story is sort of bracketed from Mary's point of view with the angel leaving her and Simeon saying to her, a sword will pierce through your heart also. And this is the lady who we say, or God said, or the angel said, have found favor with God. It's very, very clear, isn't it, as we think about this, that God asks of us as human beings, often he asks very, very difficult things. There is a superficial understanding of faith that sort of is do good and God will bless you. You know, sort of get on the right side of God and everything will go well with you. But the fact is we live in a world that's in rebellion against God, where violence and wickedness and unkindness and human brokenness and failure and sin have so ruptured and infected our world and our human condition that suffering is everywhere. You don't have to push into the lives of people around you very far to find a great deal of pain and brokenness and unhappiness. And even someone like Mary, and we don't know what kind of pain and brokenness there was in her own family background or in her community. We know something in general about the Roman occupation of Galilee. But in Mary's particular life, I guess she probably had a happy home or a happy upbringing or godly parents. I don't know. But the pain and the heartache and the challenges that were coming to Mary were coming because she was a good person. And because God was entering the world to save and rescue and deliver and forgive and to show his mercy. And Mary was caught up in his plan of salvation for the world and was entering into the pain and the heartache and the suffering and the uncertainty of life in a fresh way because she was caught up in God's plan. And often, As the people of God, God asks of us very difficult things. In fact, this little phrase, "the angel left her," can cut two ways. We can feel, God, really? You can't do better than that? You're asking this young woman to cope with all this? Or we can look at it and we can say, wow, God, you really trusted this lady. You really had confidence in her. And of course, the amazing thing is that God does have confidence in us. When he asks us to cope with difficult things, it isn't because he doesn't care or he isn't compassionate, but because he trusts us. He trusts us to walk with him and represent him. And like Mary, to be agents of his presence in a broken world. There's a sense in which Jesus entered our world through Mary's yes to God. And there's a lesser but still real sense in which Jesus will enter your world and my world through our yes to God. Through our surrender and submission, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered, "may it be to me as you have said." So the first lesson I learned from looking at this passage, as I think about going into 2019 and facing whatever change and uncertainty, which I know is going to be less challenging than what Mary faced, right? So I know it's not going to be as difficult as Mary's year ahead at this point. But I can learn from Mary to start the year with that same yes, with that same surrender. Lord, I don't know what's coming. I don't know what 2019 holds for me. I don't know what of joy and sorrow. But Lord, I'm your servant. May it be to me according to your plan and purpose. Which, unlike Mary, I don't know what that is. But I trust you. I give myself to you and I ask, Lord, would you enter my world, my friends, my family, my relationships, my community, through me this year, as I give myself to you. You know my weakness, you know my frailty. I may not be a stronger person in character or courage as Mary was, even at a young age. But Lord, would you help me? Would you help me to live up to the challenge of this young woman's faith in you? So that's my first lesson facing change and uncertainty, is don't fight it, because God controls the change and uncertainty ahead. Surrender to him. Make yourself his servant into the year ahead, whatever's coming. The second big lesson I learned from this passage about facing change and uncertainty is go and find Elizabeth. I don't know whether you notice this, but in this whole thing of the angel talking to Mary, he drops this in at the end, maybe as an illustration of miracle babies being born, or we can only guess. I think that God told the angel, when you go and tell Mary, would you also mention Elizabeth? Because the angel says, even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible to God. Now, Mary, the angel's left, right? Mary's there. It's 10 minutes, it's 20 minutes, It's half an hour. She's trying to take it in, what the angel said to her. She's trying to remember exactly what did the angel say. What am I going to do? Do I already feel? Is there anything happening? You know what? I don't know what's going on in her mind. Who does she tell? Do I tell my parents? Do I go and tell Joseph? But the angel has mentioned Elizabeth. That Elizabeth's going to have a baby. And so Mary goes to visit Elizabeth. Verse 39, at that time Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea. She went to see Elizabeth. I think God always puts an Elizabeth in our lives, at least one. And I think it might be a good thing for you and for me as we face this year ahead, not knowing what's coming, is to think, okay, God, so who's my Elizabeth? Who is the safe person that I can go to and I can share whatever it is that I'm facing or challenge or my fears or uncertainties or my failure or my struggle? Where can I go? Because my guess is, as I look around the church this morning and I can't look into your lives. I don't know what you're struggling with. I don't know. But my guess is that if you start to ask God, who's my Elizabeth? Who's going to be my Elizabeth this year? Who's the person that I can go to and I can share honestly and completely and know I'm going to be accepted and loved and is going to point me to you, Lord? Who's my Elizabeth? Because I think God puts Elizabeths in our lives. And maybe God wants you to be an Elizabeth for someone this year. If so, there's wonderful things to learn from this passage. Just let me read this next bit, 39 to 45. So at that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea. And when she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." You know, from what I've read, no one really knows where this town in the hill country of Judea was, but it's probably about 3 days' journey from Nazareth to get there, because the Jews didn't go through Samaria. It was too dangerous. They weren't welcome. They couldn't get food in the Samaritan villages. So to go from Galilee to this area, either north or south of Jerusalem, they went to the Jordan, down the Jordan Valley and back up again into the hill country. That's typically how Jews traveled between those areas. So it's about a 3-day journey. I guess it wouldn't have been safe for Mary to go on her own. She probably went with a group of other people who were traveling in the same direction. She had lots of time to think, now how am I going to tell Elizabeth? I'm going to Elizabeth. I know she's going to have a baby. You know, what am I going to say? And she's probably rehearsing, you know, and she's probably imagining Elizabeth isn't going to believe her. that this is a miracle baby. She's going to assume that, you know, and how am I going to explain that? And what am I going to say? And but Mary never gets a chance to explain to Elizabeth, because God has already prepared Elizabeth. And Mary enters the house. And here in England, you know, with cold weather and front doors and locks and things, you know, we have to knock on the door, you know, or ring the doorbell, bing bong, bing bong, to get someone to come. In that community, as for us when we were living in Africa, people just walk into the house. You know, no one knocks the door, rings the doorbell. People just walk in and they call out, hoodie, hoodie, you know, we're here. I guess it was something like that, because Elizabeth says, as soon as I heard your greeting, the baby inside me leapt for joy. How blessed am I that the mother of my Lord should come. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will come to pass. Now, Elizabeth could have said, oh, you poor girl. Really, God has asked you to do that? Oh, my goodness me. And he didn't tell Joseph yet? You, oh, gosh. Oh, my. Oh, what, how difficult God is, isn't he? I mean, what? You know, you see how Elizabeth responds, how Elizabeth points Mary to the Lord, how she encourages Mary and urges her on in her faith and trust in God. You know, you can do this, Mary. God is with you. I'm with you. Come on, we can get through this. This is amazing. This is fantastic. There's a lot to learn here about how to be an Elizabeth. I love the story about the early church sending Barnabas to Antioch when the first Gentiles were coming to faith in Acts 11. And that clearly the apostles were a little bit worried about what was going on in Antioch. And so they sent Barnabas, I think probably to check things out. We know from the first part of Acts 11 that they were nervous about Gentiles coming to Christ, coming to faith, because they weren't sure, you know, whether it was the real thing or whatever. And so Barnabas is coming to Antioch. I bet the new Christians in Antioch, the Gentile Christians here, oh, the church in Jerusalem is sending someone to check us out. Luke records that when Barnabas came to Antioch, it says, when he saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad. And he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. Being a Barnabas or an Elizabeth is to see the grace of God at work in people's lives and be glad. And to exhort them to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast heart. That's what Elizabeth does here. So, surrender to God. As you face 2019, surrender to God. Look for an Elizabeth. Someone to walk alongside you. Someone you can share with. Someone who will urge you on and point you to the Lord. And then lastly, what scripture are you taking into 2019. You know, this next bit of this story is Mary actually does get to share what she had been thinking about, what she'd planned to share with Elizabeth. That's my understanding of this next bit. Luke 1, 46 to 55, what we call sometimes the Magnificat, because Magnificat is the Latin of my soul glorifies the Lord. My soul magnifies the Lord, which are the first words of Mary's song. So Mary pours out this stuff. Now, maybe this was some supernatural act of the Holy Spirit that he suddenly put these words into Mary's mouth that she'd never thought of before. I think it's much more likely that Mary had been thinking all those 3 days and meditating and reflecting. And it's pretty much everyone who has studied the Bible thoroughly and studied this passage thinks that Mary had been thinking about Hannah's prayer in 1 Samuel 2. I'm not going to go into 1 Samuel 2 now, but you can go back after church maybe and look at 1 Samuel chapter 2. Hannah had had a miracle baby, his name was Samuel, and she had brought him to the temple to dedicate him to the Lord's service. So a lot there for Mary to identify with. And 1 Samuel 2 gives this prayer of Hannah, maybe a prayer that Hannah wrote out to leave with Samuel. Who knows? Somehow we have Hannah's prayer recorded. The prayer that she prayed for her baby Samuel. It's the Hannah's prayer, interestingly, bit of Bible trivia, except it's not trivial. Hannah's prayer is the first place in the Bible that the Messiah is mentioned. Hannah's prayer ends with the expectation of the Messiah, the anointed. In our English Bibles, you'll find, you know, the word "your anointed," Hebrew Messiah, Messiah. The Greek translation, the Septuagint of Hannah's prayer, uses the word Christ, Christos, the anointed one. My guess is that a lot of Jewish young women had memorized Hannah's prayer. My guess is Mary wasn't carrying a big scroll along with her, but she had Hannah's prayer memorized from her childhood. And that as she was processing, Hannah's prayer was in her mind, and she was thinking about Hannah's prayer, which starts exactly the same way that Mary's sharing with Elizabeth starts. My soul glorifies the Lord. And unpacks a lot of the same ideas of God looking on the humble and raising up the humble and putting down the proud. God gave Mary, Elizabeth. He also gave Mary the Old Testament scriptures to help her cope with the uncertainty and the pressure ahead. And Mary clearly was relying on the Old Testament scriptures, and particularly maybe Hannah's prayer. It's a lovely thought to me that God had prepared through Hannah all those years ago this prayer with Mary in mind. You know, God has given you this whole book of wonderful stories and prayers and songs. What portion of the Word of God are you going to take into this year with you? You know, it's a wonderful thing to cope with the year ahead. You don't know what is coming in the year ahead, probably. But God knows, and he can give you a passage of scripture that you can reflect on and think about, that you can hold on to through the year ahead, that can help to anchor your faith. You can look for an Elizabeth, and you can begin the year like Mary, surrendering to God. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." So I'm sorry I can't give you an angel to go with you through the year, but I can leave with you these thoughts from Mary's example. May the Lord help us to experience the change and uncertainties ahead with confidence and faith, learning from the example of Mary. Shall we pray? Lord, our souls glorify you. Our spirits rejoice in you, our Saviour, because you have been mindful of us. You have been thinking about us. And though our part in your plan and purposes is different from Mary's, we know, as Mary said, that your mercy extends to those who fear you in every generation. And so we know your mercy extends to us. We know you have a plan for us. We know we too can be caught up in your purposes. So we pray that you would help us this year to surrender afresh to you as your servants, to look for Elizabeths who will encourage us, to be Elizabeths to others so that we might encourage them. And may we take hold of your word, your promises. Give each of us, Lord, some passage of scripture clearly to take us into this new year, we pray. And help us for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.